Oh, yeah, we forgot about this open. That's
awesome.
That's awesome.
94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. What do you think of the open for the Tom Kelly show?
It's all right. It has a little what's the word I'm looking
for?
Oh, my
gosh, it's awful.
Oh, come on, Merrill.
It has a little hip-hop feel about it.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. AI is really messing stuff up, ain't it? I don't know if we all got
you
the
worry?
Email. Well, I ain't worried about AI. AI ain't going to take my job.
Nobody can replicate this.
I'm an original.
I mean, Kyle could just play your drops.
But I saw somewhere where, let me get this story straight. The AI, they had an AI model, and they were talking about replacing it. And the AI told a story like the dude was cheating on his wife or something. Did anybody else see that story?
I did see that, yeah.
Where the AI wrote a whole email to the company saying that somebody was cheating in the company.
No, I didn't see this.
You didn't see that story?
No.
Oh, we're not too far away from the Terminator, dog. We're not too far away from the Terminator being for real.
Yeah, AI is pretty scary, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on with the AI.
Shout out to Sean in Newark, one of our great callers who made that open for me. And then Spike actually took it upon himself to make three more. So
he made more TK spots.
Yeah, but the ones that Spike made were a little less complimentary and a little more disparaging.
For real.
Yeah. So we might have to come back with those a few times as well.
Spike used to be my movie date. Spike got brand new. Spike back.
Well, you guys are the two movie buffs here.
Yeah,
at the station.
You know what? I asked him to go to the movies with me last week, and he talked about he was going with his wife.
Yeah.
How dare he?
You and Spike on a movie date? That would be great content. Honestly,
how dare he go to the movies with his wife?
So who'd you go with? Did you go
with my son?
You went with your son,
and he was he. I mean, it was fun, but you know, it's different. You know.
I love the idea
he
of you.
He ain't got no money.
I love the idea of you third wheeling a date with Spike and his wife.
No, it was
to
just
the
me. The first date we went on, it was just me. Spike. When I said it, just sounds funny.
What you guys went to the movies together? You actually did this?
I forgot what we went to go see though. I forgot already. But it was in the city.
Okay.
Well, what were you doing in the theater? That because it feels like this relationship is now ended. Are you like?
Well, first of all, let me tell you.
It didn't go well.
Let me tell you.
Check your phone in the theater often. Are you doing annoying stuff?
No. Let me tell you what happened. The first time we went, he bought the tickets, I bought the popcorn. But what he did was something that I thought was kind of weird, right?
Is that a fair deal?
It's an equitable relationship.
Well, I bought the popcorn and the drinks. That's about 40. That's about the same.
That's probably more expensive.
It is expensive.
Yeah, that's about the same. But what he did, which I thought was a little odd, he got a seat right next to each other.
Now, you want the separation?
Well, if I would have bought the tickets.
So it's you who broke off this relationship.
Well, if I would have bought the tickets, I'd have put a little space between them.
Well, you're a big guy.
You know what I mean? Because I'm a wide body. I'm somewhat of a wide body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just weird that we sat right beside each other.
Did you guys share the popcorn?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It was two bags of popcorn, and like, I don't even share popcorn with my child.
Okay.
And I'm definitely not sharing it with a grown-ass man. I don't share my popcorn with my children.
Why?
Because.
Oh, man. Poor Harper.
I mean, I just don't. Harper got his own popcorn.
Okay.
And
I guess good for Harper then.
Yeah. And you know, because he's even that way. He is my child. So he had his popcorn. I had mine. And we sat there and watched the movies. And it was cool, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like Harper's too young to critique, you know, because after you watch the movie, you want to digest and talk about what you just saw. You know, so me and Spike, we talked about because what, 28 years later came out and he saw it. That's what he went. He went to the movies with his wife to see that. And I went by myself.
Okay.
So I saw it and we kind of compared notes.
You guys had a call to compare notes that night?
No, listen. Have you seen 28 Years Later?
No, I haven't seen it. Or 28 Days Later either.
No, I haven't. No.
Have you seen
the original?
In the story? Like it's
zombie since we movie, have, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was.
But you told us about the appendage.
Yes. I was trying to keep it, you know, cuz we have guests. But yeah, it was
appendage.
It was bananas.
Okay.
How about that D, baby?
It was bananas. If anybody watched it, it was like, I was like, because I was sitting there with somebody, and I'm like, good God.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure somebody out there does. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Are you more encouraged by the Phillies starting pitching after this weekend or discouraged by the Phillies offense? I'm more worried and discouraged by the offense. Hugh is more encouraged by the pitching, even though he still refuses to move Zach Wheeler up
from the number nine number spot. Number one in my heart, though, if he's listening.
Well, in case I'm sure he's out in San Fran listening right now.
I felt like he was listening. Yeah, well, he probably you can listen on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, he can. Plug. Absolutely. Plug. Working out in the morning, since he also said he never works out. Apparently.
He ain't working out. He probably smoking a Black and Mild right now.
Oh, man.
What'd you say? What'd you call it? Kyle, ripping a heater?
Yeah.
He probably ripping a heater. He's probably ripping the heaters, drinking Old Natty.
Yeah, he could do that down there. He might be today. He might have last night. I mean, he's not pitching for another 5 days. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a few minutes, we'll get to what Bryce Huff had to say about his time in Philadelphia. That's coming up. First, let's go back to the phones. Go to Steve in Egg Harbor. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, what's going on, Tom? You hit it on the nose about Sosa, I can tell you that. I really believe this guy should be a starter every day. I mean, 3 years he's been with us or something like that. Every year he hits like 260 and only plays part-time. Imagine if he played every day and he had a chance to get in a groove. We saw him earlier in the year, what kind of groove he can get into when, you know, there was a few people injured and he played almost every day for 2-3 weeks in a row. And the guy was just lighting up. And then he benched him for like a week and a half before he plays again. And that's the problem I have with this team. When you see somebody who's doing what that guy was doing, you got to keep him in the lineup. Topper never does. He always goes back to Stott and all that. And I'll tell you, Stott has got a major problem with an uppercut swing, just like Castellanos. The down and in to Stott and the down and away to Castellanos, they flail at it all the time. They're never going to learn, and this is why this team will not win a championship.
Well, this is the thing, Steve. As far as Stott goes, I don't blame Rob Thompson for trying to play him against righties and get him going. But what does bother me is, like, Sosa, again, he's been here 4 years. The guy's produced. He gets put in the lineup, and he does his job. For a guy like that to never cause any issues, never to say anything about his playing time, and then you got Max Kepler, who's been here, what, a few weeks?
A cup of coffee.
And he's going to complain when he's hitting 200. I mean, there's something wrong with that.
And he had his chance early in the year. He was playing every day for the first month and a half. I mean, there's only 6 months in the baseball season. But Sosa has never complained. And this guy, I'm sorry, man. I mean, if I'm him, I'm looking elsewhere after his contract is done, because I think this guy could be a starter. I think he could hit 285, 290. When a guy hits 260 playing every other day, basically, because that's what he does. I mean, actually, he plays like 4 days in a row, and then he'll give him off a week. And he does, like you said, nothing but produce. Why isn't he given the opportunity to play every day is beyond me. It's because our manager is soft and weak as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Steven, I appreciate the call. I don't agree with that. I don't think Rob Thompson's soft and weak. I think Rob Thompson takes too much heat, Hugh. Like, I actually think Rob Thompson with this team this year, I think he's done a really good job with this team.
Yeah, I mean, but it's certain people don't realize how hard it is to manage. And I think especially for us more advanced individuals, older guys, that we look at certain ways that the old manager used to do things and think that you can incorporate that into this game. Mess around and get Sprewell that way. I don't think it works that way anymore. I think you have to adapt and adjust to the times that we're dealing with. And I think Topper has done a tremendous job. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about Castellanos and his blow up and his tay-to-tay. And it feels like Topper sat him down and said, well, hey, you know, they went over the numbers and everything, and he saw exactly where he was. And to your point, he's starting to play a little bit better. Because, you know, sometimes as a player, you don't see it because you're too close to it. So you have to have somebody else sit back and kind of go through it with you to see exactly where you are. And it feels like they've, you know, gotten better since then.
Right. And I think specifically in a sport like baseball, where you're playing every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I think the hardest part of the job, it's not as much about X's and O's and when to go to this pitch or when to pinch hit this guy. It's about managing personalities. Mm-hmm. It's about managing egos. And I think that is something that Rob Thompson, honestly, does really well to keep a clubhouse kind of healthy.
And not only that, the way I look at baseball is like this. Whatever you are in training camp or, you know, down in Clearwater, that's probably what you're going to be during the season because you don't have a whole – it's not like football. You know, we get to go out there and play in football, and you get to play a game on Sunday, and you got all week to practice to correct the mistakes that you've made. And baseball doesn't feel like that. It feels like, you know, you play the game one day, you play another game the next day. The next day you're traveling. So you have to kind of go to batting practice and just try to, you know, get a feel for and watch what you made mistakes on and just try to do better, like, on the fly. So it's a lot different in baseball.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, boys. It's been a while. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
All right. I just I called you a while ago. I had mentioned I really, you know, watching New York Mets, watching the Phillies. I'm up in PA now. And I still think the Phillies starting rotation will definitely blow away the Mets. But I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and I think that I'm really interested in this series. It's going to be a good series. We're not going to have our best pitchers out there, and we do not hit lefties. So we're going to have a tough time with Sanchez. And you guys are going to see Rupp, Ray, and Verlander, and Verlander's not been very good. So I just think in general, I think the National League with the wild card, if you look at all these possibilities, all these teams that got a shot at the wild card, it's going to be very difficult to say, well, we're going to sell and we're going to go to this team and pick up a reliever or pick up whatever. And I think the Alvarado deal, obviously, as you know, hurts you guys.
Well, yeah, the Alvarado thing killed the Phillies. And I think to your point, Richie, and this is what makes the deadline kind of complicated right now, is you don't even know what teams are going to be sellers right now. I mean,
yeah,
you look around,
kind of tightly grouped together, man.
You look around baseball, I mean, aside from like six or seven teams, everybody can convince themselves they're still in the playoff race right now.
Yeah, you're going to have Pittsburgh, Colorado. You look at Colorado. Colorado's got three or four stud reliever guys. I see them all the time in the National League West. So, you know, and then those are going to come in. Those are important pieces, obviously. You get five innings now from a starter. It's like unique. But, you know, getting back to Wheeler, we gave him up, as you know. And we had Wheeler, and we got Beltran back in 2011. It's one of the worst deals we've ever made. I love that guy. He is just a stud. He is out there every game. You touched on it. I think he's the Cy Young winner this year. I know that the fellow from Pittsburgh has been great. But I think he's due. He's been a top three or four on numerous occasions. I think Wheeler is just, you know, and never a complaint, just a total worker out there. And you guys do underachieve with the hitting. I just don't understand sometimes the hitting. I thought that your second baseman was going to be really, really, was going to be better. Turner, you can't knock him. 22 stolen bases, hitting 300. Castellanos has done his job, but missing Harper. But I still think, from what I see with the Mets, that they have enough pitching. And the Mets are going to get some help now. They're going to get Manaea back, and they're going to get Senga back.
Yeah.
But I still give the edge, but this series should be interesting tonight.
No, Richie, I hear you, man, and appreciate the call. And, yeah, I think the Phillies are largely better than the Mets, but the starting pitching does give them that edge. I mean, the Mets starting pitching is not in a good situation right now.
Yeah, and when you look at what the game started, like, what, 9:45?
9:45 tonight. How
are you
making
that
it? Yeah.
All depends.
Take a nap.
I'm going to take a nap. I'll probably take a nap.
Drink some coffee.
How many innings do you think you do get through tonight?
It all depends, man. Oh, you know,
I think you'd be lucky to make it the first pitch.
No, I'll probably make it the first pitch. It all depends.
Not the second?
Because, you know, usually Monday's like gummy night. Gummy night is on a Monday. So I probably had to push gummy night back to tomorrow night.
Yeah,
well, that's another 9:45.
I got to say, man, I'm kind of a fraud. I used to be one of these people who would mock people who couldn't stay up late night.
Young kids, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, I got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old.
Them kids be wearing you out.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to. I'm going to try my hardest.
You don't be trying to go back-to-back, do you? With the kids, do you?
What do you mean back-to-back?
Yeah, leave it there.
We're done. We're done now. But, yeah, 4, 2, and 6 months, not easy. Not easy. Did I miss something?
No, man, it's an inside joke.
215.
That should probably stay inside.
215-592-9494. If you want to get in, we'll get back to the phones in a second. But speaking of the Giants, who the Phillies are playing tonight, our old friend Bryce Huff now out there in San Francisco. Right. Maybe he'll be taking in the game tonight out there. But he's with the San Francisco 49ers
just
now.
He left that one alone, dog. He should have just left Philly. Just leave Philly alone, man. Take the ring.
Yeah.
And just go enjoy playing for the 49ers.
Yeah, just take the ring and be on your way. Could that have been that difficult for him, Hugh? The guy who you predicted to, what, set the all-time Eagles record?
22 sacks? Yeah, I thought he was going to have a hell of a year, man. He can play. He can play.
You should apologize for that take, by the way.
Nah,
breaking Reggie White's sack record?
That was a hot take. That was hot.
It was a joke.
That was a hot take.
We're going to have to keep a list of how many takes Hugh needs to apologize for.
I don't need to apologize for none of them.
Okay. Wheeler, defense is a luxury.
I ain't got to apologize for none of them.
But Bryce Huff was speaking earlier this week and talked about his time in Philly and how he kind of knew early on it wasn't going to work out here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I'm being 100% honest with you, I wanted to trade, like, fairly early on. And just because of how things went in Philly, like, I knew pretty early on that it wasn't a fit. But, like, being a signing of that magnitude, like, being undrafted and going and getting that contract and being in Philly, like, the expectations are at an all-time high. So I knew a trade wasn't going to happen during the season. But I just kind of, like, talked to my agent about it. I was like, yeah, when it's all said and done, like, I might need to step, you know, just to be able to put myself in the best position to ball out and have a fruitful career. And there's a plethora of things that went down. I don't want to get into specifics, but
of course,
I, like, being in the league for five years last year, I'm going into my sixth right now, but being in the league for 5 years, I kind of knew what it felt like for me to be, to be in a good situation, you know, and that's just what I was like, yeah, I gotta look out for myself and do what I think is best. So, I mean, I kind of knew where it was headed, like, fairly early on into the season, but probably even training camp, if I'm being honest with you. But so when everything kind of popped off, it was just like, yeah, all right, let's get to work.
So basically, what Bryce Huff says there is, yeah, I knew in training camp this probably wasn't going to work out. I get, like, if you come to a place and the fit isn't what you thought it was going to be, but if that's where your mindset is in training camp, I mean, that makes it hard to feel like he gave it a real shot here.
Well, see, this is where I think Bryce should have just didn't say anything, because you open yourself up when you say that and you leave it ambiguous. Like that, not ambiguity, but ambiguous, the way that he did.
Ambiguity.
I've been working on that word. But here's the problem, because here in Philadelphia, we need an explanation. Because you said that there was a lot more that went on that you don't want to get into. Well, hell, you didn't have to get into being wanted to be traded, to be totally honest. You could have just left it like, hey, man, didn't work out. Hey, I wish him the best. Hey, I'm fortunate enough to win a ring, whatever. You took that moment. I know what you did. You took the moment and you tried to get sympathy for the way your season went after you won the Super Bowl. I think that's where you probably, there was a disconnect. You won the Super Bowl. You got a ring. You didn't do what you wanted to do. It's okay. You know, it didn't work out. That's all you had. If you would have just said, hey, didn't work out, and kept it moving, now go to the San Francisco 49ers and ball out. That's all you had to do. And now you changed the narrative. Like, oh, it didn't work out in Philly, but you went somewhere else and you balled out. Okay, maybe it wasn't a fit. But now you've inadvertently put a bullseye on your back. Now everybody's going to be watching.
Right. And the thing is, like, you can't say that this was my mindset in training camp. Like, I knew immediately it wasn't going to work out here. Like, that makes me think, like, did he really even give it a shot here? Was he trying to do what Vic Fangio was asking him to do? Was he trying to fit in?
See, this is what I think happened. And this is me recklessly speculating like I like to do. somewhere along the line, there was a conversation had about your role here or what your expectations were, and you didn't like it, and it automatically put you in a bad place. You took the money. Hell, I'd have took the money. With my old ass sitting right here at this radio station, somebody offered me $50 million to go rush the passer, I'm going to pretend like I can.
We saw you do it.
But the point is this. It didn't work out. No matter what you say at this point, especially after winning the Super Bowl, you sound bitter. You sound a little bitter. Let it go. Like, go play. Go play for the San Francisco 49ers and go be productive. You didn't have to say anything. I don't think you had to do an interview. You could have just said, hey, man, didn't work out in Philadelphia. I had a great time there. Unfortunately, you know, it wasn't a fit. And leave it like that.
Yeah, dude, you want a ring. Just move on.
Yeah, just move on, dog.
Well,
you should have never.
He should give that ring back.
He should, but your thoughts on Bryce Huff, Kyle, besides that, he should give it back.
Well, so first of all.
He probably don't wear it, but I'm not.
No,
I ain't
he probably,
it back.
Yeah. probably you don't think about selling that thing, pawning it off or something. But so first of all, it wouldn't surprise me if he actually was productive in San Francisco because now he's back with Robert Saleh.
Here we go. Put him in perspective.
It's the truth.
It's perspective, TK. He had 10 sacks with Robert Saleh.
Perspective from Kyle again.
No, he stinks. No, he does stink, and he's a total loser, total fraud, and that little diatribe he went on was a total joke. My thing is, and what it reminds me of is, we don't really talk about this as much because it doesn't matter, because we got the best version of Vic Fangio, and all the players bought into the Vic Fangio thing. But remember when Vic left Miami?
Yeah,
and it was
bad,
things about
bad mouthing.
Yeah, like all the players were like, you know, go kick rocks and stuff like that. Like, you need to be fully bought into what Vic Fangio is selling in order for you to be productive. And Bryce Huff clearly just...
Look at that analogy that Kyle gave to that. That was a good one.
I mean, Huff clearly gave up instantly, which is loser activity.
Well, he basically said he gave up during training camp. Like, oh yeah, I knew in training camp this wasn't going to work out. And I needed to change.
Yeah, you should have let that one ride, dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you got bad advice. I understand you feel some kind of way, but... If I'm Bryce Huff, every time I look down at whichever finger you decided to put that ring on, I would honestly say, when you think about the NFL as a whole, because you won on both fronts, bro, you got paid, you won the Super Bowl in your fifth season in the NFL, you won the Super Bowl, and you get a chance to go resurrect your career somewhere else. How is that? How are you bitter?
He shouldn't be.
Like, seriously, how are you bitter?
No, he could have just easily moved on. Like, it was a winning team. If it was a team that didn't play well, okay, I get you could say some things on your way out the door, but this team won a Super Bowl.
This is where the kids need to get better advice, man. Because as petty as I am, and you know I'm petty, in that moment, the best thing to say is, hey, man, it didn't work out.
Did you make any remarks after you left Jacksonville?
Yeah. I threw salvos at the last game of the season.
Rip Del Rio?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't want to be here. I'm out. And Jack called me, was like, hey, man, you know, let's try to work it out. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. And then you see Hard Knocks. Yeah, and you know how he really felt.
Then they cut.
Joe and I have looked up. Like worst signings in Jacksonville history, and he was on the list every single time.
And you know what?
They're not fans of Hugh Douglas in Jacksonville,
and I am not a fan of theirs. And they can kiss my whole entire ass in Jacksonville.
Is Hugh the equivalent to Bryce Huff in Jacksonville?
Probably,
without a single doubt. Except you didn't get a make believe ring.
No, I didn't. I got one when I came back to Philly, though. I mean, we didn't win it all, but I did.
Yeah, you got that NFC Championship ring. That's good enough.
Yep. And then he fought to y'all.
Yeah.
I have other milestone moments.
Wasn't going to bring that up. 215-592-9494.
In my life.
If you want to get in, see everybody on hold. We'll get back to the calls on the Phillies coming up. Are you more encouraged by the pitching or worried about the offense right now? We will also get to the Phillies all-star selections, who did and didn't make the National League team for the Phillies, and Kyle Schwarber on whether he will participate in the Home Run Derby a week from tonight, next Monday. That's all coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94. WIP.